Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, and joining me again from England. Today's the second person today from England. How exciting! I always tell people like I'm from.
Actually, Lindsay, I'm from England, but I live in Spain now.
Oh, all right then. Very good. I just made an assumption, so thanks for clarifying that. Either way, like I get to try time travel on the podcast. I'm talking to people all over the world, and it's really exciting. Like, this is how you preset your dreams, right? You like talk to people on a Zoom, and then one day I'll be there with you. How about
Yeah, that
that?
would be so cool. Come on over.
Yeah. So let me introduce you to Melanie Whitaker. She's the founder of You Are Your Marketing. And today I want to talk about visibility, and we're going to talk about how to make it easy for you. So if you're in an online space, then it's probably crossed your mind once or twice that you should probably show up some way, shape, or form, right? And we can all have challenges with that. Not only is it intimidating to know where to show up, but really what's more so is how and when and what to say. And let's be face it, we can all get in our way. So Melanie is here to help us navigate those muddy waters and really put some clarity behind us. So thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lindsay.
My pleasure. So, will you please introduce just like your backstory? Tell us a little bit about how you got into being a public relations coach.
Yeah, so backstory on me is, as I said, I'm from England, but now I live on this beautiful Spanish island, which for you guys over in America, it'd be similar to like living in Mexico. And when I lived in England, I did secretarial work. Then I came over here and I gave that up. And I was doing front of house for restaurants and getting people to come in and have food and have drinks. And I loved it. But I always knew I would, go leave that eventually. I always knew that. And I've always been in communication with coaches. And so one day I had this female coach who'd seen my story, seen what I was up to. And it was after 2020. So when our island got shut down for 6 months, so we had no tourists for 6 months. And when we reopened, I went full throttle and I was promoting the restaurant in the Facebook groups. I was being really bold and really visible. And she just happened to reach out to me and say, "You know what? I need someone to PR my retreat, and you're the person for it. So let's have a conversation." And that's how I got into it.
I love it. It's funny you mentioned Mexico because I was looking at your profile today when I was DMing you. And my first thought was, man, she looks like she belongs in Mexico. Like, I grew up in Arizona, so we had a house in Mexico. I spent a lot of time there. And I don't know, there was just a vibe about it. So you were totally in the element.
Spanish lifestyle. It's so cool.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I mean, we could bunny trail and get down into like what is public relations? What is marketing? What's the difference? Actually, that might not be a bad idea to just kind of touch on that. And then we can swing into how visibility
Sure.
ties into the whole thing.
Yeah, I get asked this question a lot. Generally, if women fit into two camps when they get on a discovery call with me. Either they're curious, because obviously they're watching my marketing, or they just know it. So, those that are curious but don't fully grasp it, I'm going to tell you what I tell them because I make it super simple. I don't use jargon. I want a 5-year-old to understand what I'm saying. So, the best way to describe marketing and public relations and what they do is imagine that there are two tracks here. Okay. And there's a car on this side and a car on that side. Now, the car on this side is marketing. Now, that car is only ever going to ask for the sale. It wants you to buy things. So, buy my book, come to my retreat, come into this mastermind, whatever the thing is that you're selling. The car in this lane never asks for money. What this car is doing is it's going along and it is telling the story of you, like what you said then, what's your background, and what have you done? So it's telling the story of who you are, but then it's also welcoming them into your world and then giving a reason on why they should join your community and what it is that you do and how you help people. So really, PR is it's explaining things more. Whereas marketing is just saying buy the book. It isn't really saying that much about the book. It's just like the book's called this and it's priced this and this is the key title and this is kind of the plot. Whereas here with PR, it goes in more depth.
Makes sense. I like it. That's very helpful. So
It's
when
like,
it,
for instance, can I just say this?
yep.
Imagine if you had someone doing a Facebook Live. You're not going to want to watch a Facebook Live for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. You're just not. Whereas with a podcast, you will. You want to hear more. That's why you listen.
Right. Makes total sense. It does. And how does that tie into visibility? I mean, clearly they both require visibility. Maybe a little bit differently. So when we're talking about having an online brand, and typically, as in your case, your business name, you are your marketing. Oftentimes, we are our marketing. We are the face of our company, and that ties into visibility. And I think maybe, and totally take the lead and correct me if I'm wrong, but seems to me like a lot of people get hung up on like, I don't want to show my face or things because I don't want to show up like I'm too salesy, or I don't know what to say, or I don't know what about my story is relatable, or how should I share it where I don't look weird or people will judge me for it, or all the things, you know, we get into our head. So how can we maybe reframe visibility in a way that makes it a little less intimidating?
Okay. I love to give this analogy just because it just hits home immediately. So, we all know those reality TV shows, okay? And people get really invested in the characters. Now, when I say invested, I don't mean paying money for it. They're just really following that character and they want to know what they're up to, even when they're not in the show. So, especially with women, they love to see where they go get their hair done, where they get their nails done, the fashion that they wear, where they go out for dinner, where they go out and hang out in clubs, and where they're going on holiday, and who's dating who. And they can talk about that character as if they're going out with their best friend for drinks at the weekend. Okay, that's how invested they are in that person. So, what I say to my clients is, if people can be invested in, without sounding horrible, a Z-list reality TV star that isn't gifted in any way except turning up to a red carpet event, okay, it is what it is, then why do you not feel that you can have the spotlight too? And you have gifts, and your gifts will help people, but they're not going to help them if you're not out there being visible. Now, and a perfect example of this is going to the A-list. So imagine Beyonce. Beyonce, whenever she's going to sell something, from books to her music to her concerts, Beyonce's going to sell it. She's going to sell out because she's Beyonce. But Beyonce still goes on radio, still goes on TV, still does magazine articles. She has billboards everywhere. Why does she do that? She does it because she has to stay current. There's always going to be new music stars coming in, right? And you could get lazy. Like, imagine if she releases a book at Christmas time and the PR is going to be massive on that. She doesn't really have to go and do the whole PR campaign. She could get someone to run off and do it for her and just pay a load of money. But the reason that the celebrities go and do the PR is they know they have to stay current. And they also know that people want to hear more about them. So, what have they been up to? Have they been in the studio? And what's going on in their world? And have they got children? And they want to know about them as the person. So, when it comes to the PR of your business, you need to think in your head, yes, I'm selling my services or my products, but people connect with people. So, what I want to ask you now is when you look at your marketing, apart from close people in your industry and friends, would a stranger really know you as a person?
Right. Well, just like you obviously are doing a good job. I associated you with Mexico. I knew you were in marketing. Like, I mean, there was, and we've barely, I mean, we've been friends on Facebook for a while, but we've never really gotten to know each other till that's what I love about podcasting. But yeah, I mean, I think that's to your point, really good example of how to do that. Yeah. So let's say we want to maybe teach our audience listeners a couple of frameworks that can help them improve their visibility. What might you do? Like, what are some of the first steps you take with a client who's just getting started?
Yeah. So if someone's getting started, I get this a lot. People will say, oh, but I'm not established enough because they look at people in their industry who, have gone really far and will sell out all their launches. And so they look at that and go, oh, but, I'm not at that level yet. So you've got to start where you are. So my first recommendation would be you really have to network. And your networking needs to happen both online and in person. It's really funny because I put a thread out just a few hours ago today, which basically said, are people talking about you in certain rooms? Are you at the tip of someone's tongue when someone says, do you know who'd be good for blah, blah, blah? Whether it's a collaboration, whether it's a potential client that could come your way, would someone say your name in that room? And if you know that they wouldn't, you need to network. You need to be out there networking, putting yourself into arenas, letting people know you exist. I'm about to do two collaborations back to back. And then another thing that I would heavily recommend is referrals. Referrals are massive when you're first starting out. So when you're getting your first set of clients, ask them, say, look, if you know anyone that needs assistance with XYZ, please let me know and come up with a referral system so that you can pay them the money once they send someone your way.
Well, I'd like to interact with that conversation from a mindset perspective, because that was something that was holding me back a lot in the beginning. I've been podcasting for 5 years. I know what I'm good at. I was in a service framework where I was delivering time for money services to pay the bills, right? Like more like freelancing, helping people with marketing, like we talked about the North Marketing Agency and whatnot. But what I knew I was good at specifically was like helping people build digital products. And my hang up to just being known for that was that I see so many people doing it. I'm big names too, like Amy Porterfield. She's like the Digital Course Academy, big name, right? And my first thought was, well, why would anybody need me for that? What's really fascinating is, and I'm sharing this story because I want the listening audience to understand like the reality of what our perception is in reality. Okay. So my perception was nobody really needs me for that. Anybody can find that out online. I mean, heck, ChatGPT can whip it up. Like, why do you need me? But when I met one of my clients, she came to me. Now she had a framework for a course, and she ended up, I had asked her if she knew Amy Porterfield, and she's like, no. And it blew my mind. Like, how do you not know her? Right. Well, here's what it boils down to. When we're in our lane and we know what we know, the algorithm feeds us people like us. And so we see all the people because we're interested in it. We're talking about it. So we see all of that. Somebody who comes, like in this case, my client's a Christmas designer. She talks about Christmas. She's not talking about courses. And so Amy Porterfield never showed up in her world. But also on that point, I learned that people who go, it was interesting. Like I think sometimes God just kind of like puts things in my life to show me things. He unveiled this moment for me because at that exact same time, I had another person come my way who was in Digital Course Academy, Amy Porterfield's course. She was struggling because it was so big. She's like, there's thousands of people in this course. I'm not getting the help I need. I mean, there's a lot of good information, so it's not to negate Amy's program whatsoever. But she needed that like little bit of one-on-one extra help. And I thought, oh, there is a place for me. The fact that I'm not Amy Porterfield is actually my benefit. But I needed these two people to come into my life that week to see it, you know? And I think that's really important when you're talking about that, you know?
I like that. It's true. And I get it. As women, we can have a lot of hang-ups. We can think, well, the famous who am I to do that? And, you worry about being cancelled. You worry about people judging you. You worry about people thinking, well, she ain't all that. Like, we have all these weird things in our head, right? And what I want to say is, we are all gifted. And we hear the phrase a lot, but I'm going to say it again because you can never hear it enough. There is enough room for everybody. And the best person in the world at what they do, they can't serve everybody. They just can't. Nobody can. So the way to view it is this. If you're just starting out and you're kind of a rabbit staring in the headlights going, there's no way I can compete with that. Because I do. I will have clients say that to me. They'll be like, there's no way I can compete with this person. And I'm like, but you don't. It's good to know the competition. It's good to know what's out there. And obviously, it's good to aspire to be like that person that you really look up to. But you shouldn't be making your business decisions based on what they do, because you are you. And nobody has had, no one's walked your life path. We're all walking the path we're walking. We've all had the experiences that we've had. So, as good as someone is, you're equally as good. It's just that, how many times do we say there's been a car accident and they'll take maybe six statements? Every single statement will be different because people were at different angles, so saw different things. We look at things differently. And it's the same with business. I'm going to toot my own horn here. When I sit down with clients and we brainstorm about things, or we look at what's working and what's not working and how we can tweak things, they always, I even had a call this week. And when we got off the call, the client sent me an email and she said, I love how your brain works. Now that made me smile because when she said that, I was like, oh my goodness, like for me, this is normal. Like I just think everyone's brain would think like that. But for her to send an email probably 10 minutes after and say, thank you so much, and I love the way your brain works, was like, whoa, you take for granted your gift. So I want to say to you right now, who's listening to this podcast, you have a gift. You might not be visible enough with that gift because that's what normally happens when they come to me. Like they're doing the usual stuff, the emails and the social media, but there's only so far it will go. And so I take women on a journey because when I do PR with them, I always say this to them. PR is a beast, and even the most alpha female woman will have a wobble. We're women. When you one day you're going to be in your feels, you just are. And so when they're going through the PR journey, a lot of the times they will want to hop on a call. Maybe they feel like they've duffed up an interview, or they want to prepare for one that's about to happen because it's so important to them and they don't want to make a mess. And I'll be there for them to kind of hold their hand through that process, because a lot of the times they'll beat themselves up and be like, oh, I think I've messed it up. And I'm like, no, you haven't. Trust me, you haven't, because they're going to edit it anyway, right? And they're not going to put you in a bad light, because then that's going to make their podcast be in a bad light. So you're going to be fine. I know that you're feeling embarrassed right now, but here's the thing, you're in the game. You're in the game, you're in the trenches, you're being out there. And that is what PR does. There's a vulnerability that comes with PR.
And nobody looks at you the way you look at you. Okay, so recently I got really, one of my clients told me, she said, Lindsay, you should do more behind the scenes content. To what we were talking about right before we got on. She said, sometimes you seem so polished and so, like, what I'm putting out is so complete looking to her that she's like, I wonder what, how does it, like, what's the messy middle, right? For her. And I thought, okay, I kind of see that. Like, I always thought my deliverables should be very clear and concise and polished to help them in my heart. That's what it was all about. But I'm realizing actually I was hindering them because I was making them think they couldn't do it. So this one day, just recently, I was getting all excited in my head and got a brain burst, right? And I went up to my office here and I was whiteboarding something. And I thought, oh my gosh, I should film this. So I set up my studio lights, I get myself all set up, and this takes like 10, 15, 20 minutes. It's ridiculous how long it takes. And then I thought I did my test run and I'm like, oh heavens, look at my face. So I go put makeup on and get my hair done and I'm like, okay, there, I'm good enough. I'm like, my brain is like ready to go. Like, I want to get all these thoughts out, not film it, right? But I'm doing it for her. So I film it. I get all the whole thing is done. It's like 40 minutes long. I get it into edit and I think, oh my gosh, look at my shirt. I was wearing my grungy weekend shirt because it was the weekend. I had a big old oil stain from, when you're cooking and you get the splatters. I have my cooking
Oh.
shirts and like, I thought, oh, I did that whole video and now look at me. Okay. Thankfully, this client is also a friend. So I send her the video and I'm like, do you notice my shirt? The whole time I'm obsessed over this shirt, stupid thing. And she comes back, she goes, I thought the color looked really good on
Do this rubbish. They just don't. It's us women. We analyze everything. We really do.
It's
We do.
so
And we need
true.
to stop beating ourselves up. One thing I would like to add to what you're saying. I have no problem in saying this because I work predominantly with a lot of coaches, so I don't want people thinking I'm bashing that industry unnecessarily. But the downside of it is for a long time now, they've tried to portray a perfect lifestyle. So I live in the perfect house and I have lots of money and I get to go to beautiful locations for holiday and I get to drink Dom Perignon whenever I feel like it and I have a flashy car and it goes on and on. And it actually intimidates a lot of people. And what I say to my clients is when they're feeling less than, I say to them, you are going to be able to help people who are going through whatever they're going through. Okay. Here's how to reframe what you're thinking is being inadequate or not feeling up to the mark. If you're going through a lot of things in your life and someone looks super perfect online, I guarantee you they're probably not going to reach out to them, no matter how good they are, because they don't feel that they're at that point yet. But when they look at someone who looks normal, here's the thing. When I'm doing PR with clients, a lot of the times they'll say things like, but if I mentioned this part of my life that wasn't very good, that could be a bad thing, couldn't it? Like, might I lose people? And I always say, well, I have no control over that. But what I will say is this. People want raw, real, and relatable. If a woman's going through a messy divorce and she's looking at you and you look put together all the time and you look perfect, she probably wouldn't reach out to you because she'd probably just say, oh God, my life is a car wreck. There's no way I could even approach this woman. Like, she's just going to laugh at me, right? And so, what I always say to my clients is when you're online, be the way that you are in real life. I get it all the time. Someone will hop on a discovery call and they'll be like, oh my God, you're just like your Facebook lives. And I go, yeah, because I ain't going to put on a persona online in the hopes it's going to get me clients. It's too time consuming, it's too draining, and I don't want to be two different people. I just want to be me. And I always say to my clients, be you and deliver it in a way that you would like that. If you're too up here, you're actually repelling people.
I agree. Yeah, it's true. What did we talk about right before we got on that was really meaningful? Like you just, I was so into what you were saying. I lost sight of it. I had it just a moment ago. It was so on the subject of being real and showing up in that framework, how do you like, I heard this once that somebody said something to me once. This was early on, and I don't know if it's still applicable today because I think a lot has changed, you know, with AI, that everything is so, I don't know, questionable. We're going through like a trust recession. I see that often. So sometimes showing up in the raw, real you, like you were saying, it lets people know like this is not AI. But that was something that somebody said, like, if you've ever gone through a hard time, just in your content or whatever, just end on the transformation. Like, don't leave it hanging in the mess. I think that's the biggest difference is you see people complain online, and we don't want to be that complainer. We don't want to be the person who's a whiner
No,
online. So I
you
think,
don't want to, because I don't want victim clients. The
yes.
clients that I work with, they're go-getty, and everyone's go-getty in their different ways. And talking about something in your life that wasn't great is not a bad thing because no one's had the perfect life. Nobody. I don't care who you are. No one's had the perfect life. And so, when you talk about something that could have broken the average person, or it just was a really rough time. By talking about that, now people are looking at you and going, how many, listen, here's something that I want people to be aware of, and it's very easy to forget. Because we live online, whether it's on apps or whatever it is, emails, whatever, we think everybody knows us. And I guarantee you now, 99% of the people that will find you online won't know you. And so it's very easy when you see a person online and you don't know them to create a story. You just create a story because that's what we do. It's human nature, right? And so here's the thing. If a woman or a man is not in the best time of their life and they know that they need support and they need help and they discover you, but you look so perfect, the likelihood is they probably wouldn't reach out. Some might, but I can guarantee you a lot would just feel intimidated. But imagine someone's going through whatever they're going through and you interweave into your marketing. You know what? There was a point in my life when blah, blah, blah was going on. All of a sudden, they're like, whoa, I would never have said they'd been through that. Now they're looking at you and thinking, wow, that's interesting. They just look so perfect and they just look like their life's just been given to them on a plate, you know? So now they're looking at you and thinking, well, maybe this person could help me, or maybe this person won't judge me, you know? Because we do think that when we're not in the best time of our life and we want to work with someone who looks totally put together, the thing is we don't want to be judged. That's human nature. And so we wouldn't necessarily reach out to that person because we don't want them knowing we're going through whatever. And the fact of the matter is we're all human
I think,
and
okay, I
no one's better than
remember,
anyone.
but this is a really important last point we need to make. And it was speaking of the fact that we don't want to be judged, you said something really pivotal before we started recording, which was you found that women who truly know themselves are find the PR to be most successful. And I think that also ties into that judgment feeling because when I just was imagining my own journey, when I was in that space of confusion of like, I didn't see how the world needed me. I didn't know. I didn't own what I was showing up for. I knew myself. I knew what I was capable of, but skills and purpose are not the same. And I was living in skill land, and now I'm living in purpose land. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I love it.
And
Oh, that's a good
I think
analogy.
what you're saying here is like when people really know their purpose, it you don't give a darn when somebody you're
No.
like, oh well, go on. There's other people I'm here to serve. God put me here for a reason and I'm showing up. Like you just suddenly stop caring so much about what other people think of you. And you said that really, like you told me, like the women you work with who really know themselves, they find it this whole PR visibility
Yeah.
to be a lot easier.
It's interesting because I see the journey they go on. They go from, ooh, but should I do that? And eventually we'll hop on a Zoom call, and after working together for a little bit, they all say this. They all say, do you know what? I'm just being me. I'm done now worrying about what's going to happen and what could happen and what people will say. I'm just doing me, right? And I love when they reach that point. But I want to leave this with you because this is important. So, the more comfortable they become on being themselves, I could be on a call with them and then they'll say things like, do you think I should say XYZ? And then I never answer that. And there's a reason why. I will always say to them, is what you've told me your truth? And immediately they will go, of course, I lived it. It's what I've experienced. And then I say to them, when we get off the call, I want you to be quiet. I don't want you with your partner, your children, friends, family, peers in the industry. I want you to be on your own. And I want you to ask the question, if I divulge XYZ in my marketing, am I emotionally resilient to deal with whatever happens after that? And the reason I ask that is, I don't know how it will be perceived. No one ever knows. But here's the thing. If you emotionally couldn't deal with it, if it didn't go well, it's not the time to bring it out. That's not to say you're never going to bring it out. But if you're not emotionally equipped, it'll rock the boat and it'll just destroy you. But you could be 6 months, a year down the line, like, hey, I can deal with this now and I'm more together with it and people can do what they like. I don't care. And it's a journey. And that's why my client said to me this week, she went, you've got to be solid in who you are to do PR.
Makes sense. It totally makes sense. I love that. What a great end cap to the conversation, you know? That was good. So where can people connect with you?
Yeah, so my website is youareyourmarketing.com and they can find me on Instagram with the same handle, youareyourmarketing. And they can also find me on Threads, which I live on there. All my clients laugh at me with the same account handle, youareyourmarketing. And you can find me on LinkedIn under the name Melanie Whitaker with pink hair. And you can find me on Facebook with Melanie Whitaker with pink hair too.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for contributing to the show. I think it was really
Thank
valuable.
you. I loved it.